Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kopran Limited Q2 FY24 conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may press star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome all the people present on this call. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of Kopran today, we have with us Mr. Surendra Somani, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Ajit Jain, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Sanjay Doshi, Group Advisor. I now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, post which we will open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening. A warm welcome to all our investors. This is our first investor call, and we plan to have more such calls at regular intervals to give an update on the performance and the future of the company. The COVID period witnessed a challenge and yet an opportunity for the Indian pharma industry, which led to a surge in demand and consequently a sharp increase in prices of many antibiotics. The post-COVID period brought in volatility and uncertainty to the Indian pharma industry and affected the performance of most of the pharma companies. Market dynamics changed, as also more stringent regulatory requirements, especially for the impurity profiling, which required reworking processes, and that led to delays in filings and approvals. Chinese companies added to the steep fall in prices of several products, thus impacting the turnover and profitability of the pharma industry, especially the API segment. Kopran too had an impact, and we took various steps and measures to grow our business, leading to enhanced revenues, though the profitability was significantly lower. Our consolidated revenues grew from rupees 488 crores in 2021-22 to rupees 554 crores in 2022-23. Despite lower prices, we managed to grow revenues by increasing volumes of our existing products and also launch newer molecules. The profits were severely impacted due to the falling prices, and we also suffered the inventory losses. Fortunately, the prices and demand have now stabilized, leading to normalization of EBITDA margins in Q2. In Q2, our revenues were more than rupees 152 crores, with an EBITDA of rupees 22.83 crores and a net profit of rupees 13.77 crores. We now embark towards the future of the company. Let me give you a more detailed insight of our business. Kopran's business consists of two divisions: the active pharmaceutical ingredients, commonly known as APIs, and the finished formulations. The API business is the largest contributor to the revenues, consolidated revenues. About 60% comes from API. Our highest-selling API is Meropenem, which constitutes more than 20% of the sales. The prices of Meropenem post-COVID fell sharply. The price of Meropenem, which was 1.2 rupees to 1.4 lakhs rupees per kilo in 2021-22, fell down to 40,000 rupees per kilo. The raw material prices of Meropenem were also dropping, but we had to incur losses on the inventory held progressively. The prices of aluminum have now stabilized and the demand too has improved. This has helped margins to normalize, as is evident from the quarter two financial performance. The launch of newer panels like Ferrofenem, Biafenem and Ertafenem and further pipeline products in development like Demipenem and Imipenem gives us the entire basket of carbapenems to make us a leading and a well-recognized carbapenem manufacturer. We are the only company manufacturing biafenem in India and have launched it in the international markets also. The complete range of penems, which are the fourth generation antibiotics, reduces our risk due to price fluctuation. Simultaneously, we have focused on the R&D and commercialization of various new products with a focus on chronic therapies like cardiology and diabetes. We have developed and started successfully marketing cardiac products like Ticagrelor, Rivaroxaban and Apixaban, and in the diabetes, already commercialized Dapagliflozin and are launching Empagliflozin, though in the domestic markets. We await regulatory approvals in the international markets so that we can launch these products once the patent expires. Further, we developed and launched Nitroxilin used for UTI and got the process patents and subsequently the approval in the European market. Nitroxilin has been well accepted and is continuing to grow and shall contribute to the revenues and margins in the coming years. Another product developed by us is Rivaroxaban, an anti-acne niche product. It has been successfully commercialized and marketed in India. There are only three or four other manufacturers in the world. We expect our European approval in the quarter one of 24-25 and subsequent vendor approvals from multinational companies. We have set up a new research and development center at Panoli to increase our capability to develop many more new products and also at a faster pace. To name a few products, Edoxaban, Eduglifrozen, Canagliflozin, Mesitentan, Leosidrat, Bospiron, etc. are all targeted for development in 24-25 and subsequently commercialized. Simultaneously, we are also developing various key starting materials, KSMs, for the newer products, which will make us competitive and also help in regulatory compliance. As a strategy, most of our new products would be on the synthesis-based key starting materials and not on fermentation-based key starting materials, thereby insulating us from the Chinese competition to a large extent. We are also in the process for tying up for exports to China for products like Pregabalin, Ferropenem, Tebipenem, Mesitentan, Uspiron and Enoxaban. Today, we are the second largest manufacturer of ethanol in the world and we are globally approved and we market ethanol to all countries including China. Ethanol is approved by the US FDA and is already being supplied to certain customers. Further, we are awaiting vendor approval with some of the large multinational companies for ethanol. There was a delay in the vendor approval due to the change in regulatory requirements for impurities, which has now been complied with, and supplies are expected to commence from next year. We have expanded our capacities significantly in the last 18 months for several products and also put up the new oral and Our new capacities at Vanoli are ready for production. We just await environmental clearance. So with a strategy of development of new products, expansion in capacities, and backward integration, we expect the API business model to be more robust and pave the way to double our revenues in the next 3 years with improved margins. Our other business segment, formulations. This contributes to 40% of our total consolidated revenues. We have two manufacturing facilities. One plant is dedicated to penicillin-based products like amoxicillin, amoxiclav, ampicillin, etc. The other plant makes general products, which includes cardiac, diabetes, pain management, etc. The formulation business has been generally stable and has been growing steadily. Their marketing associates in the regulated markets like UK, whereas in the ROW markets, we market directly through our distributors. Our penicillin-based product plant is already working on products like amoxiclav for the US market, and in due course, we have targeted to get the US FDA approval for this plant. Amoxiclav is one of the leading antibiotics in the world, and the market is still growing. For Copran formulations, in the long term, amoxiclav will be our largest selling formulation worldwide. In the general plant, where we manufacture various products for various therapies, as I mentioned, antibiotics, cardiac, gastro, diabetes, pain management, we are adding the newer molecules to enhance our production. Our long-term strategy is to develop formulations based on the new APIs which we are developing, so as to completely integrate vertically and become competitive globally. Further, we plan to file dossiers in regulated markets and license the marketing authorization to distributors in countries like UK and in Europe. We were, as of now, doing mainly contract manufacturing for customers in UK. We now are working on opportunities for contractual drug development and manufacturing opportunities, thereby enhancing our value addition. With new product registrations and entering newer countries in Southern America, Canada, Middle East, and Southeast Asia, the revenues and margins of the formulation business should steadily grow. This was a brief appraisal of our performance and the future growth strategy. I thank all investors who have joined in the call today and leave it for the question answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just wanted to understand, when is the Vanoli EC clearance expected? And our second question would be, going ahead, are the molecules like rivaroxaban and most of the other molecules that we've been working on, have they been approved by our respective clients? And when can we expect the scale-up in those molecules?
Can I answer the second question first?
Sure, sir.
The new molecules like rivaroxaban, apixaban, ticagrelor, or dapagliflozin have already been approved and are being supplied to our customers in India. As I mentioned, we are awaiting regulatory approvals of our DMFs, and post the patent, we will be able to tie up with the international customers also. Regarding Panoli environmental clearance, it is very difficult to predict right now whether it will take a few weeks or a few months, but we are very positive that it should happen very soon, and Panoli should be a contributor to our revenues in the coming year.
Sure, sure, sir. This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants who wish to join the question queue may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rishikesh Patole. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So, quickly, our current mix between our formulations and API stands around 40 to 60. So, going forward, like how you expect this mix to evolve in the next, you know, over the next 5 to 7 years? So, and what would be the major growth drivers for each of these segments, for API as well as formulation?
The current mix is 60% and 40%, and we expect API business to grow faster, and though growth would also be there in the formulation business. So if I look at over a period of 4 or 5 years, it should somewhere settle between 70% and 30%. And as far as growth in API business is concerned, as we mentioned, the enhancement of capacities along with the products which we have launched, which are in growth phase, and products which are being launched, it would be key drivers for the growth to happen in API business going forward. And I would like to mention that the newer molecules which we have launched or which we are launching are of higher value compared to the products which are existing at this point of time. So I mean, per usage of KL capacity, the sweating would be much higher compared to the past.
Sure, and in formulations too, as per your presentation, share of South Africa, the Africa business stands close to around more than 70% of sales for 2Q as well as first half.
Very
so,
right.
Please, how in the medium to longer term, how will this dependency come down? Like, how do you expect this share to, you know, form going ahead in the next 2 to 3 or 3 to 5 years?
Well, we have filed various dossiers in other markets like Latin America, Southeast Asia, Middle East, and other countries. So, and also we are developing our own products and filing in UK and UK and Europe, which will give us major business in time to come. So our dependence on South Africa and Africa will come down, and because of various registration we are going to get in other countries.
I would like to add here that our South Africa or African business is consistently happening for last decade or so. So those business would grow, but growth in other newer markets would be higher compared to growth here, and that would result into lower share of these two markets in the overall basket.
Sure, thank you. I have some more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Participants may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Venkatesh M., who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations for good set of numbers. So I want to know, like, what is the current capacity utilization? And my second question is, like, if we go with full capacity utilization, what is the revenue that we can expect?
Let me put it this way, that as far as API business is concerned, it's a continuous process business, and normally they are fully utilized. As far as increase would come from Panoli as well as the expansions which recently happened in API businesses, along with newer molecules which are of higher value, they'll contribute to better revenue growth in API business.
Any 22 numbers are now,
my current capacities and whatever molecules are planned, we expect the API business to double in next 3 years.
Okay. And then my last question is, like, you know, how are we, you know, at the depth level? Like, you know, what is the current depth? Is there any plan to, you know, come down the depth levels?
The debt equity ratio is 0.2%, and which is majorly due to working capital in terms of buyer's credit and other things. And it's more or less going in the same range. We don't expect to take any further loans. I expect similar debt level. We'll be doing much, much higher business. And presently, a lot of working capital is blocked into GST, which we expect to get released over a period of next 3 to 4 months, which would give us sufficient for funding our growth of working capital.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants who wish to join the question queue may please press star and 1 at this moment. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on good number and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, you said that you had faced some challenges in inventory and declining prices, and that's why the margin came down. And now the margin has shown some improvement in Q2. So is this margin sustainable in the future, or we can see further improvement from this also?
These are on the bottom of normal margins, and we expect margins to improve going ahead.
Okay. And the major improvement was seen in API only. Am I correct?
The formulation business margins are more or less steady. As EBITDA margins, you'll see improvement with improved revenue. And what you are seeing here is because in Q1, the revenues were much lower. So operating leverage was working against us. Otherwise, with higher revenues, operating leverage will favor us in terms of overall margins in formulation business.
Okay.
But it is a stable kind of a business with certain, very tight band of margins built into it.
Okay. And sir, you said that you expect revenue to double in 3 years. So the base year will be FY23, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Great. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, participants may press star and 1 to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and thanks to the company for hosting this call. So in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you have a few products in the pipeline and you know, you're waiting to file dossiers for the same. So just wanted to understand on the API front, I mean the previous participant asked the question in terms of margin improvement. Just wanted to understand whether there is further scope of improvement with these new products which we have in the pipeline. And, you know, what kind of markets are we targeting? I mean, should we see some kind of regulated market revenue and growth coming in 24? Or that would be towards the later end of our growth cycle, that is 25 or 26?
I would say that regulated market would start contributing from 24, but major jump should come in 25. In terms of US and other regulated markets are concerned for new molecules.
Yeah. And sir, I think one of our products which we are a major manufacturer of in the world, Atenolol, I think that is a US FDA approved product. So if you can highlight how was the contribution of it in the last year and how we see it in the coming 2 years. As we are guiding on doubling our revenue over the next 3 years, right? So how is Atenolol also contributing to that revenue growth?
Atenolol presently contributes about 14% of our revenue. And Atenolol being a low-value product, as far as domestic or unregulated markets are concerned, as far as US market is concerned, it's a decently priced product and has a very handsome margins on it. And as we mentioned in our opening remarks that presently we are supplying to very few customers in US, and we have been working with a lot of multinationals for supplying in US, which we expect to start next year. And that should increase our overall margin. But what we are looking is basically over a period of next 2 years, about 60 to 70% of US ethanol requirement to be met by Cobra.
Yeah, sure. Last question from my end, I believe we have a process patent for our product nitroxylin. So if you could just you know, highlight how that product has done over the past 2 years and what is the growth trajectory of that product for the next 3 year growth cycle.
As far as nitroxylin is concerned, our patent is because there was a change in impurity profile and toxicity in nitroxylin 3 years back, and the innovator had withdrawn their product, which is Glaxo, and we could develop that product meeting those stringent, and we are the only manufacturer, I would say, who has developed this product meeting all those stringent impurity profiles and toxicity profiles. This product has been well received, and we have very encouraging feedback from our European customers who have recently launched it in Europe, and according to their studies, as far as urology is concerned, this is the best product compared to other three products which are competing with this product. We expect this product to be about 50 to 70 crores in next 2 years product with a good margin profile.
That's all from my end. All the best and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Participants, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next follow-up question is from the line of Mr. Rishikesh Patole. Please go ahead.
Hi. So
In your opening remarks, you mentioned that you do contract manufacturing for the UK clients. So, just to get a more hang of this, is this for any innovator, or this CDMO piece is for any innovator, or these are pure generic clients?
Well, currently we are doing for generic companies. And going forward, we are going to develop the own product, going to out-license to the distributor there. Currently, we are not working with any innovator company.
Do we plan to foray into this?
Yes, we do plan to foray into. We are in discussion with quite a few multinational companies, and. Going forward, we would like to do that.
Okay, sure. Looking at your presentation, so overall we can say that formulation for purely exports, and in API also we have around 40% exports, so 60-70% of our consolidated revenues are coming from exports. So with this current geopolitical uncertainty that is going around, and so much things on the freight, logistics, insurance, and all. So how do we hedge the counterparty risk, or so how do you manage the risk on that thing, whether we say currency or anything else?
Generally, I mean, most of our exports are basically either LC-backed, advance, or advance against documents. Credits are extended only to a very, very customers whom we are dealing for a long time, and with a very strict credit risk profile. So, and our past experience till date is we have never seen any bad debts on this account. So, we are very, very conservative in terms of extending credit. Generally, we don't extend credit on this. As far as currency is, we, as a policy, irrespective of situations, we keep hedging 50 to 60% of our exports in forwards.
Okay.
This our 100% export is in US dollar, which is very stable currency.
Sure. And so on the Africa piece, like Africa constitutes more than around 70%. So how much of a sales would be from tenders versus the private market?
It's around. We are not participating in tenders. Our distributors, they participate and they get it. So we are not actually, they place the order month after month. So we are not directly participating in tender in South Africa. In some of the African countries, we participate, but that constitutes less than 5% of our business.
Okay, and just one last from my side on the integration front. So we claim to be a good integrated company, and our strategy would be from whatever API molecules that we have to forward integrate into formulations. So any, I don't want you to quantify, but can you broader give a sense of how much backward integrated we would be from API to formulation?
This is a process which has just started. So do we integrate in terms of ethanol, manufacturing the intermediate, which is PHPA, manufacturing ethanol, which is the API, and manufacturing ethanol tablets for the UK market. So this is but in terms of contribution to the revenue, it is very insignificant. The idea is all these new products where we are making the KSMs, cardiology based or even diabetes and some other antibiotics, we will move forward to the development of the formulations do the bioequivalent studies, file the dossiers, but that takes about 3 to 4 years' time to be commercialized. But it is a slow but definitive process, and it insulates us from a lot of volatility which many people face.
Sure. Just I'll squeeze in one more if I may. We largely have grown on an organic route. So they probably we do not, or I may be misinformed, but we do not have much history of M&A. And recently we also terminated the Abhinandan Rasayan deal. So with so much happening in the API space in India, like do we see any opportunities for going the inorganic route to capture more growth?
As of now, we are not contemplating any inorganic route in the near future. If any opportunity arises in the long term, we will consider at that time, but not in the near future.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wish to join the question queue may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference to the management for closing remarks.
I wish to thank all the investors once again for their participation, their questions, and the interest they have shown in Copran. The management has assured you of growth, and we will be focusing and working hard on the same. Thank you, and hope to have another session very soon. All the best.
I'm sorry, sir. There is a question which has come up. Should we take that?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So the next question is from the line of Mr. Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for a good set of numbers. I was on road, so, you know, just reaching somewhere. I punched in a bit late. So a couple of things quickly. One, can you run us through the journey over the next 3 years, how it will pan out over the regulated market? Yeah, so what kind of traction can we look forward to? Like, what would be the milestones to track over the next 3 years in regulated markets growth for us, US and UK, and for that matter, even China, sir?
The tracking, I think, probably is filing of DMFs and approval of DMFs. That's a major step to track for foreseeing what kind of a business can be generated from regulated market. And as we mentioned, that all new products, we intend to file for DMFs in various countries, including China. As initially said, about 5 or 6 products which we are developing or developed. We are already in advanced talks in China for business there, which should conclude in some time.
So, in terms of the launches in China and also on the existing filings in US, if you can maybe give more qualitative timelines or more qualitative inputs, sir.
As of now, in the US, as far as API is concerned, we already have etanolol, and we await the regulatory approval, the vendor approval from some multinational. So etanolol will be the biggest contributor in the near future from the regulated market, or that is the US market. For the other APIs, where we file DMFs, as I mentioned earlier, probably which you missed it, the new requirements of impurity profilings have delayed the regulatory approvals, which we have now completed. So we expect the approvals in the coming year, and then the vendor development process will start. So if the products include pregabalin and erythromycin, where we have already filed, then as time goes by, we'll file for all the new products that is dapagliflozin, where of course patents also will be an issue. So commercialization and business from US will also be dependent on the patent dates. But we will be filing the rivaroxaban and the ticagrelors and the such products in due course. And parallelly, we are developing the formulation dossiers, doing the bioequivalence. which will definitely be going to the UK market. The commercialization may happen in 26 or 27. I'm not able to give an exact date. But it is going to move. It will take a couple of years to see a significant play in the regulated market.
As far as the European market is concerned, we are waiting for approval for limecycline and amlodipine, which we should get next year.
In the next 1 year, next 10 years.
Got it, sir. Second, in terms of these new products that we intend to file, do we already have sponsors or, you know, companies where who are referencing our product in the in their files? Do we have it? The clients tied up for most of these products. If you can throw more light on that.
Let me give you a different dimension. We are in the regulated markets and the in domestic markets where manufacturers are manufacturing the formulation for the regulated market, and they are our customers for various products, and almost every company worth the mention is our customer. We have been talking to them and they have shown interest, but in the usual chain of event is such that they first wait for the DMF to be approved. Then they would, at that time, trigger the inspection if required, and then finalize the vendor development process. So in terms of interest, because it's our blockbuster production, if you talk about apagliflozin in diabetes, blockbuster product. If you talk about apixaban in cardiac, blockbuster product. So there is enough demand. There is no problem in terms of customer. And we are backed by a corporate name of Cobran, where quality and GMP has always stood by with the customer needs. So any company you talk of in India, they would be already our customer.
Got it, sir. In terms of the the new capacities coming up, I suppose this has already been answered. But in terms of the capabilities that we are adding in these new capacities, or and what would be the milestones for commercialization, say in Panoli, example?
The major spare capacity today is right now Panoli, where we have 2 multi-product plants awaiting environmental clearance, and giving any date right now, I cannot predict, but we definitely expect the revenues to contribute to the total consolidated business in the next year. That would be a major spare capacity. Other capacities or the growth would be proper utilization of the KL capacities which we have, where the higher value products may take a larger share, and that would lead to growth in the revenues again.
Got it, sir. Also on the PLI side, what happened, sir, exactly? We were looking for PLI last year, but it didn't materialize. And how are we looking to compensate for the growth driver that we lost there? What will compensate for us in terms of growth?
PLI, some of the whatever advice we got, and somehow we couldn't came in the list of approval. But whatever expansions we planned in PLI, we have already completed. So it's not that because we have not got PLI, we have not expanded. Whatever commitment or application we made for PLI, we expanded our capacity, including Panoli. And that's why I don't see any challenges in terms of this. Fortunately, the products or new products, they have decent margins. So it's not that we need some incentive because of commodity products or low margin products to make them viable. So even without PLI incentives, our investment, return on the products which we planning to manufacture justifies or give us a good return on the investment which we have made.
Got it, sir. So one last on question, you know, extension of a question by a previous participant. South Africa has been a large market for us, and in formulations, obviously, you know, there is a lot of new initiatives we are taking to grow the base business. If you can just highlight what could be the triggers on formulations from here 2 to 3 years perspective, can we expect a better growth in formulations and maybe a better margin profile also? And diversification as well?
There are two elements to the formulation business, as I mentioned earlier. One is the penicillin-based formulations, where our major contribution was coming from plain amoxicillin capsules. We are now switching more towards the amoxiclav tablets, which are much higher value and better margins than the plain amoxi capsules. The global market also is shifting from plain amoxi to amoxiclav. So in the penicillin plant, penicillin-based product plant, our growth will come as the amoxiclav formulation is marketed world over. We are tying up with large companies also, and including for the US market, we would be seeking the amoxiclav approval. That is one segment. In the general plant, we are right now doing the older products, what we call the legacy products. But in the next 2 years, the newer APIs which we are developing, whether it is for diabetes like dapagliflozin or empagliflozin, or the cardiac products like ticagrelor or ravodixaban or apixaban, we are already developed. We have developed the formulation. We are in the process of finalizing the bioequivalence, and by the end of 2024, we would have the dossier ready. We will file these dossiers. Approval will be dependent on each country to country. We are going for the regulated market also and the non-reg market also. So a span of 3 to 4 years from now is what I would guess, where we will get these new products fully approved, and that will give a significant growth to the formulation general products business.
I would add here, in last 2 years, we have filed more than 250 dossiers, probably a little more than that, and we expect in next 1 year those approvals to come in and business to start. So, let's put it this way, that for next 1 to 2 years, the growth would be about 10 to 15%, and later period you'll see 20-25% kind of a growth in this business.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll join back in queue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.